Take your Bible this morning, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to teach a little deal here this morning and just kind of maybe be low key or just whatever, you know, whatever the Lord wants to do in His house. It's His business. It's His call. And we'll just do that. I'm glad of the fact that I don't have to entertain people on Sunday morning in order to keep you coming back. You're the crowd that doesn't have to be entertained with some new flashy deal every Sunday. You're the crowd that wants the Bible and you just want the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. And God give us grace, and that's what we'll have this morning. And I want you to think about your life and think about your salvation and think about are you really saved? Are you really born again? And Romans is the book that'll get you to think about that. It'll lead you to the place in your life where it'll lead you to salvation, and then it'll confirm the salvation in you. And there's so many. I was just going back over Romans 8 and the other day, and I was just thinking about all the different messages that I could preach out of this one chapter. And you know, whether I don't know if I will or not, but there's 39 verses here, and it just seemed like there's a good message in about every five or six verses out of Romans 8. But I'm going to try to mind the Lord and say, God, if that's what you want me to preach, that's fine. I was praying a while ago, God, if you want to change the message, go ahead, because He's done it before that quickly, and it's been a blessing. So anyway, Romans chapter 8, are you there? Say amen. Y'all believe the Bible? Okay. When your emotions and your past and everything else tell you something that's contrary to the Word of God, believe the Word of God first and don't believe yourself, because you'll lie to yourself, or the devil will lie to yourself through you. Believe the Word of God this morning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. But I want to tell you what, I want to start crying right now, because I already had this idea yesterday when I was studying this out about what God's done for me. And it just makes me so full of joy this morning that it's a blessing to me, because I know where I'm headed and I know what God's done for me. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, we preached on that last Sunday morning. We preached out of the book of Esther, and I told you to follow the ring. Wherever the ring was, if the ring of authority that Ahasuerus had was given to Haman, there's death. And he was going to kill the Jews, and he was going to kill the image of Jesus Christ inside the nation of Israel. But when the ring went to Mordecai, who was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the city rejoiced and people lived. And that's how it is. When you give the devil permission to invade your life, you're making a drastic, terrible mistake. And you do. You give him permission. Okay, and Jesus is standing at the door knocking. Guess who's at the back door? How many of y'all know that? Say amen. Because while Jesus this week, when you woke up this one day this week, and boy, you just had hopes the day before that you was going to live better and live right, do this and that and the other, and you woke up and there's Jesus standing at the door knocking, ready to come in that day, and then there was a knock on the back door. And you knew who it was, and you knew what he had, and you knew all the things there. And every now and then, we run to the back door. Let's be honest. Amen? And be careful. Be careful of that, all right? But anyway, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now I'm going to ask a question this morning, and this is just, I'm just primarily teaching this morning. How do we know that we have the Spirit of God in us? And I made comment earlier this morning. In fact, we were teaching in Sunday school, and if you didn't make it or can't make it to Sunday school, I want to encourage you. There's a guy down at Georgia named Harmon Adams, and Harmon takes all the Sunday school lessons and all the Wednesday night lessons and Sunday morning sermons, and he puts them on our sermon audio page. It's www.sermonaudio.com/Bethel. And I don't know if that's in the bulletin or not, but if you want to hear that, you can go to that website and listen to those messages. And last Sunday morning during Sunday school, I taught on the doctrine of how you know that you have the Holy Ghost. And the modern charismatic movement is telling everybody that you don't have the Holy Ghost when you get saved. Okay? That is not... What in the world? Oh, no. Something Miss Waymar gave him. Anyway, praise the Lord. Amen. God's warning you. Amen. Warning, there's danger. Yeah. The idea is that there are people out there telling you that you can get saved, but you don't have the Spirit of God in you, that you need to have somebody lay hands on you and impart that to you. And that is a false doctrine. It was present in the book of Acts because they had the office of the apostles. But now that we have the perfect Bible, Paul said in Galatians 4 that you receive the Spirit through the hearing of faith. And not the laying all that, not the works, but by the hearing of faith. And so anyway, there's people out there that are telling you. In fact, I had when I was pastoring out of Richwood several years ago, we had a contractor that we did work for. And he asked me, he said, "How's your church doing?" I said, "Well, we had several people say we had about, I don't remember, we had a vacation Bible school or something like that. We had about 10 kids and adults saved that week." And he said, "Well, how many of them got filled with the Holy Ghost?" I said, "Every one of them. Every one of them." Okay? He was of a persuasion that doesn't happen when you get saved. And I want to tell you something. If you call yourself saved and yet the Spirit of Christ is not living inside of you, you're not saved, you're lost. And what they're telling you is that you're not really saved like they are until this little ritual takes place in your life. I'm telling you, that's not right. It's false doctrine. And they'll tell you, they'll say, "Well, there's evidence that you're filled with the Holy Ghost." And if you watch their church services, they will show you what they think that evidence is. They think that evidence is barking in tongues or convulsing up on the stage or throwing their bodies around or holy laughter or drunkenness, which Paul said, "Be not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the Holy Ghost." It is the exact opposite of spiritual drunkenness, and it's not something that a Christian ought to have a part of. We're non-partakers. Somebody say amen. Okay? We're teetotalers when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you ought to be teetotaler and everything else. Amen. You ought not drink. Amen. Don't drink spiritual whiskey, and don't drink physical whiskey either. All right? But anyway... how is it that they'll tell you what is the evidence of a Spirit-filled life? And here the Bible is giving you other evidences that you are filled with the Spirit. And I will tell you that if you are filled with the Spirit, then you are sealed by that Spirit. God has given you earnest of what is awaiting for you down the road. Is that what you believe? Say amen. Well, if somebody, Sterling's trying to rent out a trailer. Okay, he's got a trailer for rent. He's trying to rent it out. And he'll tell you, there's people coming by all the time and say, "Oh, ooh, ah, this is nice." That's not earnest. And they'll say, "Oh, yeah, we'll take this." That's not earnest. You know what earnest is? Amen, Sister Betty. Betty goes, "This is the universal symbol for cash." Amen. When they drop a $100 bill in his lap and say, "We're moving in Monday, don't give this out to anybody," that means they're coming Monday to put their stuff in it. That's earnest, right? Okay? They're trying to buy a house. They got to be earnest about it, because everybody in the world will go out house shopping. "Oh, this is ours. Hold this for me." And they'll never show up to buy it. And so the real estate person says, "We need to seal the deal." And in our way of sealing the deal is we hand over money and say, "You hold on to this. This is my earnest. I'm coming back." When I was in college one time, I went to this gas station on my way to work. I worked at a little shoe store. So, you know, college kids don't have money. We just notoriously don't have any money ever. And I was that way. And I drove to this gas station just a block away from this shoe store where I worked. And I went in there and I thought, okay, I've only got $5. So I put five. Now that was back in 1985. $5 of gas was, that'd hold you for a while. Amen. So I put $5 worth of gas in there. And I went in there and pulled out my wallet and I didn't have my money. Oh no. So you know what I did? I gave them my driver's license. I said, this is who I am. And I'll tell you, I told them where I worked and where I went to school. I went to Bible college. And I'm telling you, I said, within a week, I'm going to have your money. I promise you, you hold my driver's license. And they accepted that deal because that was my earnest that I would be back. Okay? And I did. I went back and I paid the bill. And I'm here to tell you that when the Spirit is in you, He will seal the deal inside of you. And He will, that will be the earnest that you'll know that when you die, you're not going to hell. How many of you want that knowledge? Say amen. That when you die, you're not going to hell. And God will put a spirit in you. That spirit will not make you act goofy in church or drunk or anything like that or go into convulsions. That spirit will, however, teach you something that you desperately need to know. And we're going to get to that here in a minute. So anyway, verse 9 again, for ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So that tells you right there, these people that say they're saved, but they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost, they're not saved. They're telling you that you're not really saved, because if the Spirit of Christ is not dwelling in you, you are not his. You don't belong to him. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit, and let me deal with this body is dead deal. My body is weakening every day. I feel it. Okay. I had to get new lenses for my glasses because I can't see as good as I could see a year ago. And even at that, remember last year I had to get bifocals and made me mad. Okay. And my body is weakening, it's decaying, I've got pain all up and down. I mean, I got to have my shoulder fixed, and then I got to have the other one fixed. And it's just going to be one thing after another. And you know what? God, take it. Get it out. I don't want this body of sin around for another 100 years or 200 years. Amen. I want it out of my life. So thank God the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, which means make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's read this out loud in public out of the same Bible. Amen. Let's read this verse 14 again out loud. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice that is present tense. Present tense. You are a son of God. That means that God is your father. That is in stark contrast to what Jesus was teaching the Pharisees. He said to them, ye are of your father, the devil. That's your daddy. And you're going to do how your daddy does, and you're going to say how your daddy says, and you're going to live how your daddy lives. All of us, in some way or another, have an influence of our father, whether let's say it was our natural father, or maybe you were adopted in a family, you have that influence inside of you, both genetic and socially. And I have evidence of my earthly father inside of me. And I'll tell you something, I love my dad. I liked what he did. If you go in my office, you'll see on one side of the wall is pictures of what my dad used to do for a living. And there for a while, I wanted to do that. Rather than preach the gospel, I wanted to go work on the riverboats. That's what I thought that I wanted to do. Okay? I mean, that was the kind of life that I thought, well, hey, you know, my daddy does this and I kind of like this. And I want to follow in his footsteps. But I want to tell you something. I had a different daddy. I had a spiritual father that said, son. And I want to tell you something. If God calls you son, you need to get a hold of that. That's a big deal. For God to call you son is a big deal. So God said, son, I have another calling for you. We're going to be working on another ship called the Old Ship of Zion. Somebody say amen. Amen. So anyway, and my daddy used to dredge the Mississippi River. That means clear out the debris so there's easy sailing for the barges. And I'm going to help God clear the way. Amen. I'm going to prepare the way. So anyway, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, don't let any religious institution put a clamp of fear on you by telling you if you don't do what they say, you're not really saved. That's heresy and false doctrine, and it comes out of hell. And that is, and I get mad at these guys. Because it's one thing to be a lost, vile sinner, because that's what we all are. And we all used to have a drinking problem. Y'all used to have a smoking problem. Y'all used to have a women chasing problem and a cursing problem and a lying problem and every other kind of problem. And when you got saved, God started delivering you from all those problems. But here's what happens. People get saved, and then some religious figure comes in and puts another clamp of bondage upon their life and says, if you don't measure up to us, you're not really saved. And I hate it. I don't care if it comes from the crazy, wacky charismatics out there, or if it comes from the liberals, or if it comes from the ultra-fundamentalists that say, if you don't have your hair cut right, you're not really saved. I'm sick of it. I've had it. Amen. Amen. I'll amen that. Because I don't care what kind of bondage it is and what you call it. It's bondage. And God did not give us that spirit of fear. But here's the spirit that He gave us. For have you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of what? You have received this, let's say this out loud, the spirit of what? Adoption. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. Who in here knows what Abba is other than a European rock group from the 70s? Who remembers Abba? Okay. Some of you, you'd be honest now. Come on, okay? Abba. Does anybody know what that is? Okay? He uses the two phrases here, Abba, Father. God is so neat. Because a baby, little Michaela Bug over there, okay? I've been teaching her that my name is Granddaddy Waddy. Now that comes from when Alicia was young, she would call me Daddy Waddy, so I'm Granddaddy Waddy. Okay? But I'm pretty sure that when she starts forming syllables in her mouth, it won't immediately be Granddaddy Waddy. Okay? It'll be Dada Mama. Am I right? Okay? She's not going to say Susquehanna Hat Company. Okay? Do what? Okay? She's going to say what is easy for her to say. I want you to get this because we're babes in Christ. And God makes it easy for us, not hard. So, in us. Now, Michael, in your native tongue, what are the familiar terms for a mother and a father? Mama, Baba. See how easy that is? Okay. In Italian, it's Papa. Who in here knows some other language? Okay, anybody? What is it? Who knows Spanish? Anybody know? Come on, I saw you looking at her. What is it? We'll figure it out. In Hebrew, it was Abba. Because it was easy to say. And you don't call somebody else Abba. That is reserved for one person in your life, and that is your father. You don't say father. You say Abba. Okay? She will say, Michael, when the time is right, she will say Baba or Papa or Dada. Okay? She'll say Mama. Okay? Even Lisa's going to be grandmother, but she's not going to call her grandmother. She's going to say Mama. Okay? Because it's easy to say, and God makes it easy for us to say. Okay, now, Isaac does not call me Dada. Okay? He doesn't call me that. He and I don't have that relationship. I'm Unc Mike. Okay? We don't have that relationship. He's not my son, and I'm not his dada. But he does say that to dada, daddy. Okay? And I don't know that he's ever called you father. Hadn't happened, has it? No, it's not him. Yeah. It's Jared. Mayor. What I'm telling you is that, and I hate to use this word because it's used in a vulgar sense in the church, but intimate in the way of a family relationship between a father and his child. Their daddy is the one who gets called daddy or Abba. Nobody else. Are you hearing me? Okay? Now, here's the deal. And I tell you what, I ain't got time to preach this. I hope I'm just being a blessing to you. We have a spirit in us that does not make us roll our eyes backward and walk crazy and have convulsions up on the stage and this and that and the other. The spirit that we have in us is the acceptance of God. It is called the spirit of adoption. And what that really implies and what that means is that you were not God's son. You were not. You were a vile, castaway sinner. You were thrown out into the field. Go read Ezekiel chapter 16. Write this down. Do some study throughout the week instead of watching Oprah all week. Amen? Okay? Read Ezekiel 16 because what you're going to see there is that God said Jerusalem was a castaway baby. In fact, Jerusalem was hated so bad. Jerusalem, listen to this now. Jerusalem was hated so bad that her mother threw her out in the field with the umbilical cord still attached. You go read Ezekiel 16. It's there. She hadn't been washed. She hadn't been suppled. She still had blood on her. Okay? That is what the Bible says. She was, from the moment of birth, she was a living castaway. Does that sound familiar to anybody in here? When you start looking back at the wreckage of your life, from the moment of your birth, you were a castaway. And it was intended that you would be that way. Because the more you cling to the things of this world, the farther you are away from God. Can I hear you say amen? The more you cling to the things of this world, the farther off you are from God. And you really don't have a spirit in you that is comfortable with calling God your Abba. You don't feel that comfortable. Okay? That's not how it is. Abba is the one that we cry to. Abba is the one that we run to when we're in danger. Abba is the one that we don't want to go to sleep at night without knowing that He's there. That's who Abba is. That's who our Heavenly Father is. Somebody say amen. And if you can see yourself living without your Abba, then He's not your Abba. He's just a religious figure for you that makes you feel good from time to time. But other than that, you could do without Him. And normally you do. Can I hear God's people say amen? That's how it is. So you have a spirit in you. It's called the spirit of adoption. Now, I am not going to be able to preach everything that I had laid out in all my fancy notes. But I do want to deal with this spirit of adoption very quickly. Down in verse 23 of Romans chapter 8, he uses that word again. In fact, what I did was, you know how I study the Bible. I just pull the words out. Because God's going to tell you what this is. Verse 23. The Bible says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, that is the earnestness of the Spirit inside of us, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? For the adoption. Now, this is interesting because the Bible earlier in Romans 8 said that we are, present tense, the sons of God. And we have the spirit of adoption in us. And yet there is something that we are in fact waiting for, and that is the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Is that even though now that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I am saved, because God has put an earnest spirit in me that says within the very heart of my being, Michael, I am your father. And it doesn't sound like Darth Vader either. Amen? Michael, I am your Abba. I am your daddy. I am your father. I am the one that you pray to, the one that you run to, the one that supplies your need, the one that fills your basket. Michael, I am that one. I am the one in your life. I am your father. And you know that. Because I have doubts just like everybody else. Raise your hand. Got them. Well, Lord, am I really saved? Am I really born again? Am I really going to go to heaven? How's it going to end up for me? God, what is going to be the end of my life? And all of that time, you know who I'm running to find the answer to that question? My Father. He's the one that I'm running to ask, God, am I really yours? God, am I really your son? God, I guarantee I'm not asking the devil. Because I used to be a child of the devil, a son of Belial. That's what I used to be. But I don't go running to him asking for confirmation anymore. I go running to my Heavenly Father. And so right now, present within me is a spirit that tells me that I am already legally adopted by my Heavenly Father. The paperwork has all been filled out. You know what I'm waiting for? I like this. The name change. I'm waiting for the name change. Because when you adopt a child, you very, very seldom let them keep their name. When you adopt a child, you give them a brand new name. Because whoever it was that they belonged to before, they don't belong to them anymore. And you know how it is in today's world? We don't want them springing up in the picture either anytime soon. Amen! Whoever it is that you used to belong to, whatever crowd that you used to belong to, we want to fix it so they don't find you out anymore. Amen! They don't come back 20 years later and say, oh no, they don't do that! Because we're going to change their name. And what we're waiting on, what you and I are waiting on right now, is that the paperwork has already been filled out. And it's been signed in blood. The blood of the covenant. And we're just waiting for the name change, the redemption of our body. Because I'm telling you, I am in the image of my family. The older I get, the more I see it. I see the characteristics of my earthly father. I see characteristics in me of my mother. I favor a lot my Uncle John. I'm sort of, the older I get, my facial features, the way I laugh and everything like that, if you'd see my Uncle John, you'd see that. Okay? It all comes down through the family. So I look like my earthly family right now. When I get to heaven, I don't want to look like any of them anymore. I want to be in the image of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Does everybody say amen to that? Okay, that's what I'm looking forward to. Okay, when I get to heaven, when I have the redemption of this body, Jesus promised that there would be a new name attached to this. So that in the millennial kingdom, people will not be going to www.mikehogger.com to go to my website. Okay, it'll be a new name. I will have a new name because I will tell you, as probably most of us here, we've drugged the old name through the mud enough to where it's all sullied up and dirtied up. Somebody say amen. Because in certain circles in this world, when someone mentions our name, a smile doesn't automatically come to their face. Let's be honest. We haven't been pleasing to everybody that we've ever met in our life. And I'll tell you something. One of the greatest things that God has ever done for us, and he's given us the promise that when we get saved, we get a new name. And God will not allow us to drag that one through the mud ever again. Somebody say amen. So we're groaning right now. This is all the trials that we're going through. The temptations that we endure. The hard times that we have been through. The terrible... Somebody texted me this week with verses that they were going through a tough time, but they could see God pulling them out of it. And I'm going, hallelujah! Praise the Lord, because that's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. God was bringing you to a closer walk with Him. And one of these days, we're groaning right now, waiting for that redemption. I would rather be raptured than operated on.
Amen. I'd rather have a new body and get rid of all the pain, get rid of the weight. Amen. You know what my wife told me the other day? Made me mad. She said, "You're getting thin up here on the top of your head." Just means I'm growing. Galatians chapter 4. Turn there. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Well, I'll tell you what. I wanted to preach on someone in the Bible that was adopted. I'm not going to get there. Okay? Because I love this story. I love it. Remember what I've been telling you. For every New Testament doctrine, there's a story in the Bible of the doctrine so that we can see it. Okay? Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the what? The adoption of sons. And I want you to get this. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying what? There it is again. Abba, Father. Twice in the Bible. Twice in the Bible. That God's telling us that how you know that you're saved is that when the heat gets turned up and when you're hungry and when you need to be fed, you go to your father. When you need help, you go to your daddy. When you need your bills paid, you go to your father because your father is rich. Amen. Your father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and daddy may not make you rich, but he'll help you pay your bills. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Raise your hand. God will help you pay your bills. God will help you do that. We go to our father. You know what's wrong in this country? Is that we're being trained to go to Uncle Sam for everything. That's what's wrong with our country. We say in God we trust, but we don't trust God anymore. We're learning to trust in government. And I'm here to tell you, don't trust the government. That's why we should have never allowed them to take our health care. We should have never allowed them to do what they're doing right now. They are taking over everything. Okay? I'm just telling you. But we should learn as Christians to go to our Father. There is a spirit in us that, and y'all are probably like me. We get out, we get a little cold on God. We quit praying, quit reading the Bible. We quit trying to be who we're supposed to be. We got to kind of get out in the wilderness of sin and apathy out there. And I'll tell you what, the Holy Ghost of God is just crushing us with guilt and we can't stand it anymore. And the devil's trying to tell us that, see, you're not really saved. See, you're not born again. There's something wrong with you. You're going to burn in hell. You might as well just come on over and live for me. And for a while, it's real tempting. Am I telling the truth? For a while, it's real tempting. But then, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God in us that makes us cry, Abba, Father, we run to our Father, we plead for mercy. God, I'm sorry. God, I didn't mean, God, I don't want to do this anymore. God, I said I would never do it anymore, and here I am doing it. God, will you still have mercy on me? And I want to tell you something. He wouldn't be much of a father if He didn't forgive your sins. I think about my children. All of them. And I ask when I doubt whether or not I'm really saved, I'll think about my children. I'll think about my girls. I'll think about my boys. And the Holy Ghost is just kind of working in me, saying, Mike, when they do things wrong, y'all didn't know that about my kids, did you? Big family secret here, okay? When my kids do things that are wrong, have I ever held the grudge against them? Have I ever told them, no, I'm not forgiving you, forget it? Have I ever made them sacrifice a lamb to me? Have I ever made them do anything other than say, I'm sorry? And when I forgive them, do I really forgive them? Yeah, I forgive them. And so I still do good things for my girls. I do good things for my sons. Take them places. Buy them things. We would go out and buy a soda, you know. With me and the boys would go out to the football game there at Hillsboro. And on the way, we'd stop and get Vest soda. I love Vest soda. Amen.
We'd get us a big bottle of Vest soda and buy them each one of their own. Don't make them share. That's good. Amen. When you don't have to share with your brother. Amen. Buy them each their own and we go out and we have a good time. And you know, we always tell our kids, man, if you don't behave, you're not going. But what do? They get to go. That's why when Christmas comes around, I don't like you know who. Because I'm not good and I've been naughty. And yet my father still gives me gifts. Teach your kids that. It's okay. Amen? Teach your kids that. And I'm here to tell you that I can see my love for my children. And I'm wicked. How much more does my adopted father love me? He loves me. And y'all remember my testimony on this deal. He loves me as if I was his only begotten son. That's how much he loves me. Okay? And I was thinking about this, about the adopted son. And in order to adopt the son, would I give the life of my natural born son? And if you were to ask me that question right now, Matthew, I would say no. Because I don't know that I could do that. But God did. God did. And you ought to tell God thank you. That he already had a son, a perfect one. Didn't need a bunch of brats running around his house. And yet God chose to give up his only begotten son so that he could adopt you as his sons. Thank you, Abba. Amen. Thank you that I get to call you Abba.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.